Turn with me, if you would, now to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. As you know, we've been in Matthew all day today. And in this chapter so far, we have heard our Lord say to us, leave all judgment in God's hands and cast your all on Him. That's what we have heard Him say to us so far. Leave all judgment in God's hands and cast your all on Him. Now, this evening, we're going to listen to His instruction as He says to us, beginning in verse 7. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Our Lord is saying all of this to His people. That's who He's saying this to, specifically His people. He is saying all of this to His purchased possession, His purchased people. Only those that He has given life to will have the ability to ask Him anything. Man hears scriptures like this and men want to put the responsibility on man. Now, you need to ask. Well, only those who God gives life to will have the ability to ask and be heard of Him. Only those who He has sought. The message is, seek the Lord. That's the message. Seek the Lord and you'll find. The fact is only those who He has sought will have the ability to seek Him in return. Only those who the Father draws to Christ will have the ability to come to Christ the door. Come to Christ and knock on that door. Only those that the Father draws will have that ability to knock on. In John 10, He said, I am the door. In John 14, we heard Him say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. In John 10, He said, I am the door. And only those who have been drawn to Him by the Father will have that ability to knock on Him and have Christ the door opened to them. So He's speaking all of this to His particular people. And He's speaking in light of the salvation that He has accomplished for them. And that's what I want to say before I say what I have to say. I want to really get that across. None of what we have looked at or will look at is for the purpose of bringing salvation to us. If anybody hears this, I want to make this clear. If anybody hears these instructions and in hearing this starts thinking and wondering, do I need to do these things in order to be saved? The answer is no. Christ finished the work of salvation for His people. He said, Father, the work you gave me to do, I finished it. And now to every person that He finished it for, and every person that He saved, and every person that He redeemed, to those that belong to Him, this is what He says. Because we belong to Him, this is what He says to us. And this is just precious. He says in verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. You know, Romans 8 says, if God gave us Christ His Son, shall He not with Him give us all things? Freely give us all things? He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I think that's a real word of encouragement to God's people who wonder, will He hear me? Will He answer me? Our Father knows what things we have need of before we ask Him. He knows. But what He's saying in this is, He's telling His people, you have a relationship with me. You have a living relationship with me. It really blessed me, got to me. I don't know what the word. It was an awakening moment. I used to think, there was a time in my life when I thought that God was like the Lincoln Memorial. I thought He was just a big concrete, never changing, never, I am the Lord, I change not. And then when the Lord started to open up His word to me, it realized we have a living union with this man. We have a living relationship with this man. And in the same way that we tell our children, all you have to do is ask. Just ask. That's what He's saying. You have a relationship with me. You have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And it's one of sincerity. And it's one of love. It's a true relationship of love. Sometimes we wonder, how's He going to deal with me? He's going to deal with me in Christ, in love, in sincerity. The Father will deal with us as sons and daughters. That's what He is saying to us, as sons and daughters. He will deal kindly. He will deal generously. He will not withhold good and just deal trials to us and troubles in His place just to do it. He won't do that. Verse 9, He said, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? He said, what man who loves his son or daughter, really, truly loves his son or daughter, if that son or daughter is asking for something in a real moment of need, if he's asking for something good and needful and profitable, something profitable for life, not something selfish, not something wasteful. I mean, if he's truly in need and it's something good and profitable, he said, what father who loves his son will instead of that only give the things that bring troubles and trials and heartache? What father who loves his son or daughter would do that? Just to cold-heartedly do that. Because we know that everything is in the hands of our God. We do. We know that. We are confirmed and convinced of that. We know that everything is in the hands of our God, and we know that everything is at the hands of our God. We know the showers of rain that come down is at the hands of our God, but what about the hurricane that wipes out the city? At the hands of our God. Everything is at the hands of our God. And because we know that He is absolutely sovereign over all things, I believe we get it in our minds sometimes that that's how He deals with us. That's just, you know, He just deals hardships. That's just how he deals with his people. He just throws hardships at them. You know, we want to be obedient and we want to seek good from him, but trials, he just sends trials and troubles, and we know they're good. You know, trials produce patience and things like that. And it's true, trials are good. Trials do produce patience. But that's not how he deals with us. That's not how he deals with us at all. Turn with me, if you would, to James chapter 1. Just after Hebrews, James chapter 1. James 1 verse 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And it does. And he said in verse 4, "Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing," lacking nothing. Let the patience that comes through our trials mature us. Try our faith, prove our faith, grow us, that we may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. But this is what he said in verse 13. If you look right here at James 1 verse 13, he said, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." The Lord God is good to His people. He is good to His people. And He even brings good through our trials, the trials that He sovereignly allows us to fall into. And because of the fall through that trial, He will chasten us. He will correct us. He will. And He'll do that because He loves us. But let's not make the mistake in thinking that we ask Him for good, and then He sends trials and troubles as His answer in return. We bring all of our trials and all of our troubles on ourselves. I do that to myself. God in His goodness is just constantly pulling me out of the pit I keep diving into. He'll pull me back out. That's just me. That's me. That's just me. And that's the truth. We bring all that evil on ourselves. That's more reason to cry out to Him for good. And this is the point of the message tonight. We are His people, sovereignly His people, chosen people, ordained people, purchased people, secured people, preserved people. This thing is set in stone. But His exhortation to us is, communicate with me, talk to me, pray to me. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Talk to me. Make request for good from Him. Good to come from His hand. Everything that comes from His hand is good. All things work together for good. Even the things that we mean for evil, He sovereignly works good over it, works good over us. And knowing all that, what I want us to hear from him tonight is, he's established a relationship with us. I have established a relationship for you with me. A relationship of good, a relationship for good. And he's telling us, communicate with me, and I'll communicate with you. Good things. He said, you ask from me good things, and you'll receive from me good things. I'm so thankful every time I read the word shall. He said, you ask, and it shall be given. You seek me, the source, good from me. He said, you'll find it. You seek me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. And whatever it is that we need, go to him. He said, I won't hide from you the good that you're seeking. He said, just knock and I'll open the door to you. I'll open the door to you. Look right here in the book of James at verse 4. James 4, verse 2 says, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war. At the end of verse 2, he said, yet you have not because you ask not. Verse 3, he said, you ask and receive not. Because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. And that's a big problem for us. It's a concern and a fear of God's people that we're constantly asking for the wrong thing with the wrong motive. That's a, you know, Romans 8 verse 26 says, we know not what things we should pray for as we ought. We don't. Thankfully, the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. But it's a fear and a concern of ours that when we pray to him, we're constantly saying, Lord, if this is not your will, I don't want it. If you're not in this, close the door. It ought to be a concern. That ought to be a fear of ours. We don't just flippantly ask for anything we want. You said you'd give it to me. Be careful, he may give it to you. If you're willing, if you deem this to be good, thy will be done, not mine. We do approach fearfully. But because we're so concerned and doubtful of our own motives and requests, that's all the more reason to draw nigh to him. Lord, we're looking to you. We're waiting on you. Give me what you deem is best. Look right here in James 4 at verse 8. It says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. So that's what I want us to hear from him tonight and be encouraged to do. As children of the Heavenly Father, trusting that he loves us, if he gave his son for us, he loves us. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins, trusting that he's purposed good for us. Let's enter into the ability that he's provided for us, the comfort, the assurance, the necessity of going to our Heavenly Father for the good that we have from him and in him. Go with me, if you would, to Luke 11. Luke 11, this is Luke's account of what our Lord said in Matthew 7. And I want to read it here because our Lord clarifies and summarizes exactly what good we're asking from him. All good comes from God, and everything comes because of this good right here. Look at Luke 11, verse 9. He said, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? God's Holy Spirit, He is what we need from God. He is the one who takes the things of Christ and reveals them unto us. God's Holy Spirit is. He is the one who blesses our heart with every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father. So I want us to just take a minute, and I'm winding down, but I want to take just a minute here and think on some good things that have been given to us and applied to us by His Spirit. And I want us to consider a few things that by His Spirit we can and should ask Him for. Seek our God for. Knock for and knock for and knock for. You think about it, He said knock, knock. That knocking is importunity. Meaning, I can't stop asking. You know, we're reading right here in Luke 11. This is the same account. The verses before what I just read, if you look at verse 5, He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Because that man will not go away. And he will not stop knocking. The Lord said he will get what he came for. And we need to ask, seek, and knock, and knock, and knock. Just like when the Lord wrestled with Jacob. Isn't that so sweet? The Lord wrestled with Jacob in the Lord's kindness, in His sovereignty, in His mercy. This is what He said to Jacob. And He said this just so Jacob could hear the answer of his own heart. The Lord knew. The Lord knew, and the Lord was in control of this. But He said to Jacob, let me go. You really think Jacob had a hold on him where he couldn't get out of it? He said this so Jacob could hear the answer of his own heart. He said, Jacob, let me go. And Jacob said, I can't let you go. I can't. I can't. The Lord said to his disciples, will you go away also? They said, to whom shall we go? There's nowhere else to go. I cannot let you go except you bless me. I must have good from you. I pray the Lord will speak His word by His Spirit right now and convince us. Ask, Lord, I need a blessing from you. I can't let you go except you bless me. Our Lord said, ask, you'll receive. You shall receive. I thought of some things. In reading this, I just thought of some things that I wrote down, some good things that we can and should ask our Heavenly Father for. As you think on things and pray to Him, We really don't know what things we should pray for as we ought. And if anybody feels repetitive, I do. I feel like I'm constantly asking the same things. So I just wrote down some things here for us that we can and should ask our Heavenly Father for, starting with Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, the Lord said, when you pray, you say, "Our Father, please give me Christ." Ask the Lord for Him. This is what the Lord said. If you ask, you shall receive. Lord, give me Christ. I need Christ so badly. Don't let me go into eternity without Christ. If I have nothing else, give me Him. Give me Him. We're asking for His Spirit. The Lord said, the Father will give you the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one God. To have His Spirit with us is to have His presence with us. Everything that I wrote down that I'm going to name is by His Spirit. And we would be so wise to ask Him to come to us in His Spirit. We sing that song, fill me now, Lord Jesus, come. The song is constantly saying, Thou canst fill me, gracious Spirit. Lord Jesus, You come. Fill me with Thy hallowed presence. Come, oh come, and fill me now. Lord, come to us as we attempt to worship You. We can and should ask for His presence before we worship Him. I just would encourage you, we're not under the law, and if you drive over here with the radio on, that's fine. But it's really not the best time for the radio. There's all these other times for the radio. Drive over here in a moment of communion to the Father. Before we enter into worship, ask Him to bless you. Ask Him to bless you. Ask Him to take His Word and feed you living bread from it. In the middle of the service, there comes a point when you think, isn't He getting close to being done? When you get to that point, ask Him, at this moment, if this man stands up there for another 15 minutes, would You use that vile, wicked creature to send the blessedness of Your Spirit to my soul? Please come to me. I need You. When it's over and we go outside and we start talking about everything under the sun, ask Him, Lord, retain Your Word with me. Bring it back up. It doesn't matter what that man said of his own words. But retain Your Word unto me. Bless me. Come to me. Ask Him. You shall receive. You shall receive. Lord, fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me with Your presence. I can't fill me. I can't fill You. That has to come from Him. He said, ask. You'll receive. Turn with me back to Matthew 7. Let me just continue with a few things that I wrote down here. Let's ask for mercy. We do all the time. We had a brother read scripture for us this morning, and in his prayer he asked for mercy, and just in the moment, I thought, that's what we need. That's what we need. Ask for mercy. Ask for mercy. I told you before about that lady who called me. This has been a couple of years ago, 2.5 years ago now. But she called me from hearing a TV message on the TV broadcast. Just scared. That poor woman. She said, the TV was on and I was in my kitchen, and she said, I started listening and I didn't leave the kitchen. I didn't sit down. I just stood there scared. And what she told me was, I am a sinner. I am a real sinner. She started telling me all the bad things she'd done, and I said, you don't need to tell me all that. And I said, if you find yourself standing before the judgment throne, ask God for mercy. Only ask for mercy. Ask for mercy. When we pray, Lord, I need Christ. I need the blessing of your presence in me. I need mercy that comes through the blood. Ask for the blood. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We got one hope. Cover me in the blood. Cover me in the blood. Ask for forgiveness that comes through that blood. Lord, forgive us. He said, you pray to your Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let's ask for redemption, how far we have fallen from Him. Lord, redeem us back to you. Let's ask for the salvation of eternal life. Let's ask for these things. You say, well, I thought you said we can ask because we already have all these things. In Christ, we do. We do. We most certainly do. But He's made a promise to us that if you ask, you'll receive. God's people can't help but ask. God's people don't take anything for granted. They don't trust anything in their flesh. We ask. We just ask. Why don't you stop asking? I can't. I just can't. Our Lord said in Ezekiel 36, He said, I'm going to do all these things for my people, but they are going to inquire of me to do it for them. So we ask. Let's ask Him for wisdom. Let's ask Him for wisdom, which is Christ. Wisdom, the wisdom of His Word. Let's ask Him for wisdom. And not only for ourselves, but for all of God's people. Let's ask Him for a heart to worship. If He does not create a heart of worship, we won't. Here or not here, we won't. Let's ask Him for the ability to witness Him. Are you a good witnesser of Him? Are you good at telling Christ to people when the opportunity arises? I'm not. Somebody, the subject comes up and you'd think that I would have something to say, but I get really tongue-tied and my brain goes empty. Ask Him for the ability to speak His Word in season. Lord, give me the ability to witness you. Let's ask Him for the blessing on the ministry of the gospel here. Let's ask Him to have mercy on the souls of our children. Let's ask Him these things. Let's ask for Him to increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. We believe. Help our unbelief. Let's ask for Him to increase our love for Christ and for each other. Lord, increase my love for Christ as He has loved me. Please let me love Him and His people. Let's ask Him to teach us what it is to be a true follower of Him, a true disciple of Him. Let's ask Him to teach us what it is to be true brothers and sisters in His family. This is the family. And we'll close on that note right there, okay? Verse 11, Matthew 7, verse 11, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Lord, teach me to treat and to do for my brethren as you have done for me. Teach me that. He said, you ask for these good things, ask for these good gifts. that come from being united in a relationship with Christ, and you'll receive them. You shall. I would love to receive these things. I really would. I know we all would, so we ask. We ask. Let's ask. Let's go to Him in prayer and ask, Lord, please give us these things. All right, Brother Dwight, you come.